Okay, we are up to Simin Chof Gimel, Halacha Chof Hei. It's on page Kuf Mem Beis. Page Kuf Mem Beis on the bottom. Li'achar Kriyas HaTorah Oymim Chatzi Kaddish. We all know that. Oh, so we're going to talk about that. Very interesting. Okay, let's just read the Halacha. And then Umagbim Es Sefer Torah, then Umagbim Es Sefer HaTorah. That's only according to Minog Ashkenaz. That's not what it says in the Mechaber. The Mechaber says the Sfarim do Hagbah before you do Kriyas HaTorah. There's a lot of Torah. What is more proper to do before? I think there are even some places that do both, before and after. There is such a thing to do before and after, but we only do it, of course, in Ashkenaz afterwards. Umagbim es Sefer HaTorah. Hamagbiya poiseach es HaSefer Torah. Now, how do you do Hag? What is the proper way to do Hagbah? Here we go. Hamagbiya poiseach es HaSefer Torah. Sheyushloi shamudim in Achsav Golui. The lechatchila should be three columns. Umareu liyaminoi ulusmoloi lefonov ve'acharav. You pick it up and you show it first. Liyamino. First thing you do is you turn to your right. Okay, if you're left, you're inclined like me always to turn left. You got to train yourself. You have to always keep cheshen. You walk, take your 3 steps back. You take back the left step. You do hagba, you got to turn right. You really got to keep checking. If you're a lefty and you're a righty, you do one. You fold tachnon on your left hand, your right hand. If it's a shachris, if it's a mincha, you're really feeling not feeling. You can go to your mind. And which shoes do you put on first? Yeah, the right shoe, the left shoe. Which one do you tie first? When you take off your shoes, the whole day you got to keep track. You right, your left. You right, your left. It's not so easy yet. A lefty, right. He gets a break.
That's easy.
He gets a break.
Everything else I'm mixed up.
He finally does it right.
But you should know, I want to tell you something. We're going to learn today. That's what I want to talk. Not everyone agrees. You thought you were safe. A lefty always does tachlin on his left side. There are opinions that a lefty should do it lois is skoididu. Falling tachnon that lois is skaydu, you should always do it on
the right hand,
whatever the majority does. So even though you're wearing tefillin on that arm, it could be that lois is skaydu is more important than putting your hand on the ritzus of your tefillin. So not everyone agrees that a lefty halach lemaisa is quite ridiculous. Halach lemaisa, we all know that a lefty does it on his right hand. Because he's wearing tefillin, I'm all mixed up already.
On the left hand,
because he's wearing tefillin on the right hand, and but not everyone agrees. Not everyone agrees with that either. So you see, you're never safe. Never. Okay, loitiskud. You have to do it. What everyone else in the shul does, everyone must do exactly the same thing. Okay, right. Let's go further. So yeah, you have to do it first to your right, and then after to your right, you move it over to your left. And when you do it to your right, you have to make sure that you show Ulafanov, Ulacharov, to Ulafanov, in front of you and behind you. So that means you're first going to go to your right, and then you go to your left, but if you turn around the same way, you have to go in a complete circle, because you pick it up, you turn to your right. And then you turn to your left. But if you just turn, you never show the people in front of you. So you really have to go around and make a complete circle. So I think the best thing to do is to go in a circle. Because if you have people in front of you, right, so you go to your right, you pick it up. When you pick it up, the people behind you can see it. Correct? Mm-hmm. Turn to your right. People over here can see it. Now what do many people do? They make a mistake now. Oh, it's a mistake. But what do? They go back the same way. They don't want to put their back to the Aron Kodesh. So pick it up, people in the back, turn this way, people here, then you turn this way, people here, then you sit down. But the people in front of you never saw it. The people in front of you, what?
The bimah used to be
over there. So that's, not only at the front, no need to sit in the middle. It appears that in the old shuls, I don't think the Rambam has a nusach of lefonov acharav. I think even Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it. I'm not even sure. I have to go, and I've got to look it up. The original versions, and the Rambam, I think the Rambam only has liyaminoi ulusmolo. Why? Because in the ancient shuls, there was no one sitting in the front and no one sitting in the back. People sat like in Kingsway. He's not here. Dr. Fuchter's not here.
On the sides.
Upon him, right. On the sides, like in Kingsway Jewish Center. They're the front?
Davis in the middle. Yeah, but no one, there's a whole empty area. There's only seats on this whole side.
The last time I was in Kingston, the big shul, upstairs, the big shul, right? Isn't just bleachers on the two sides?
Right.
And in the front, in the back, in the center, is nothing.
Right.
Zero.
Correct.
That's how the... Okay, so the rabbi, it's a big problem, the rabbi is... So it appears that in ancient times, even the rabbi didn't sit there in the front. The rabbi, the president, didn't sit in the front. So you do Hagba Galila, who are you showing it to? Liyamina Yulismolo. You pick up the Sefer Torah, and you turn it to the right, and then you turn it to the left. And you don't have to go make a full circle, because you're not showing, there's no one showing to the front. The way our shuls are arranged today is a modern innovation.
This, I remember learning to
do it. Right. Because today, as well, why does it say this nusach? Liyaminoi ulesmolo lefonav lachav. The words of the kids is eating lefonav lachav is something he is appending to the original text.
The shoes look like they belong.
Right. The way the shoes, so he didn't want to go say all four sides, because he wanted to draw from the classic text of liyaminoi ulesmolo. But that's all it says. That's all he used to say in all the Rambam says, because that's how the shoes work. The right and the left, there was no one to show it to in the front, and there was no one to show it to in the back. The people faced each other. They faced each other. Along came new generation where people sit in the front and the back. Now you got to show it to everyone. So if you're going to do what everyone, most people do, they pick it up and they turn to the right and then they turn to the left and then they sit down. The people in the front have not seen the ksav, especially the rabbi and the president. They've lost that and seeing themselves. So the best thing to do is to make a complete complete circle. You go counterclockwise. You pick it up, you show it to the right, you keep on going, you go all the way around in a counterclockwise way that everyone in the shul sees the ksav, the oisios of the Sefer Torah. Let's go further. The fun of lachayev ki mitzvah al kol hu anashim liros esekzav the mitzvah esekzav the omen you say the zois hatayra asher samosh lo fnei mishal pishon v'yamosha. It's a very big problem. It's only a half a pasuk. How are you allowed to say that's only it's not a complete pasuk? Yeah.
What about women?
That's my question.
Why not women?
No, it's a mitzvah on women.
Why not?
See, the term it says mitzvah
because of the mechitza.
All the shuls today.
Yeah.
They have little windows.
Yeah.
You know, even at Reisman.
Yeah.
Or they're bigger than
there's just a mechitz. The balcony.
You can't see.
Okay.
No, there's just all the women in the back of that can't see anything.
No.
All the women in the back cannot see. Okay, so you can't.
The Bei Yeshiva is a little window.
Right. Okay, I know. So, what about a Hasidim? They have curtains. They can't see anything altogether.
Can't you see
them this?
So obviously, I don't know the answer in Zach. Obviously, they're not on this. There's no chiv for them to come to davening altogether. I mean,
there's no.
I don't think so. They don't have an obligation to come to daven. So if they can see, they can't see, they can't see. He never heard we're going to make the mechitz in such a way that the women can be yoytza hagba. It's not an issue.
That's why the old shuls in the balconies.
Yeah, but they didn't. They were yoytza, but they didn't make. There's no question. They didn't make it for that purpose. They made it so that they can feel that the participating in the service.
Even with the balcony, it was so high up. I don't know if you could see the text.
They
were at the old shul.
It just seems like a white.
It was a
You never heard of a shul. You never heard of a shul where you make a mechitz so the women can be yotzahagba. You never heard of such a thing. You make a mechitz so the women can see, so they can feel they're participating in the service. They don't feel like they're being closeted in the claustrophobic mechitz. They have nothing to do with the shul. And in fact, I told you this is very, very true. I've seen this already a few times. In a shul where the women can see, the men behave differently. It's a fact. It's a very. If you go to a shul and there's a curtain, and the women have kids, they're just there. They're going to listen. They're going to dive in a little sitter. They're going to be very tenuous. They're going to dive in, and the men, they have a club in the front. So the men start talking. They start misbehaving. They do all the kol davar. And when you have a mechitza that's barely kosher, the men behave different. Because the women are watching.
One way
mirrors also, but not the same degree. But if you have mechitza, they have big, significant cutouts. Men behave very different when a woman is watching. Now they're wives. It's just a mitzias. A man behaves different in the presence of a woman, even if it's not his wife. Because it's just a certain... That's how it is. You behave differently. I know for a fact, I used to go to a minyan, and there were no men, when the women didn't come, women hardly ever came, and there was an over. very open mechitza. The mechitza is very, very open. Women can fully see what's going on. The men can see the women. Women can see the men. It's a kosher mechitza. When there were no men, no women, the men joked around. They talked, they joked around. And when even one woman came, I noticed this many times, even one woman, all right, they're ready behaving a little bit differently. Yeah.
Weddings too. Mixed seating.
Yeah. Talk is different, absolutely. You behave yourself.
Exactly.
Tremendous nylon.
It's a tremendous. David High School.
Yeah.
Used to have mixed seats.
Oh, you see, teacher. They're much better. The boys are much better behaved when the girls aren't. They're mixed co-ed class.
Because they're ashamed.
A whole different. In college also, all the co-ed classes, it's a whole different environment.
Public education is now.
Separate.
Because the boys vote for the girls.
That's another problem. When you get too right,
they want to show off.
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, you have another problem. Then you go to the other extreme. Is that becomes it's this issue becomes this. I told you many times. I never really thought I thought big deal mixed seating until one time I went to a pretty right wing group, and it was mixed seating, and it was really. Everyone was dressed very tzniestick, but I really got a taste of. I first understood why the Rabbanim was so against mixed seating. maybe 30 years ago, maybe when people are a little bit older, people are a different age group. But when you have young people, very young people, young couples, because it's not. It's not like on paper it sounds big deal. What a crazy! We live in a crazy world today. You can't have mixed seating. On paper, you're right. It sounds crazy. Halacha lemaisa. Go to a couple of these events. These very, very yeshivish sheva brachos, and you have young couples sitting very close to each other, and they sit around there for an hour on the table. You have a different opinion. A different opinion on these matters. So there's what's good on paper, and there's what works. What works good? Halacha lemaisa. Yeah. I'll tell you another example. Paper, what works here? We had in shul, a whole issue shul, a certain shul, Yisrael Avenue. Should we make the Misha Berach for? I told you this one. We make the Misha Berach for the Cholim. So I can tell you, someone comes with a phone book, has a whole long list of names. So the guy got fed up and says, we're not going to do this anymore. We're just going to say the Misha Berach. We're going to pause at the moment when we say the name and let everyone go and say their name. Sounds like a brilliant idea. And in some shuls it works very, very well. But I told the Gabbai, I used to daven in another place, it's the lane here and there, occasionally in a certain place, and they did it. That's how they did. And they stopped, they paused. I said, it has no meaning. It has so much more meaning when you have to go through the effort to get up from your seat, to go to the Gabbai, wait for him, and he'll ask you the name, and you say the name, he says the name. It just has something to it. Whether it works or not, I don't know. But it definitely has more flavor, more meaning. On paper, it's brilliant. The Gabbai says the Misha Berach, and he pauses, and every single member of the shul inserts a name. On paper, it sounds brilliant. But when you try it out, halacha lemaisa, you totally uproot the whole soul of the Misha Berach for Cholim. So these things, you have to be very careful. What? Yeah, so you have to have a balance. You can't bring in a phone book. You can't bring a phone book. It's not fair. You tell people on the shul. You can't go say more than two or three names. You charge a whole different story.
You talk about mixed seating.
Yeah.
My son shul in West Hampstead.
Yeah.
When they make Misha Berach for Cholim.
Yeah.
After Shishi, they make for the men.
Yeah.
After Shvi,
they make for the women. Yeah. A different Evarim. L'mach Evarim. Women have different.
Rabbi Pearl.
In all of the Svarim, there's always a separate Misha Berach for men and women. This is a brand new thing in this generation that you mix gender, you mix men and women, because the Nusach is men as L'mach Evarim, and women has a different number. Women has a different number of Evarim. That's not traditional. That's a new thing. That is a new invention of this generation. And because of Tirchot Tziburim, because we don't take all things seriously anyway, so we just mix men and women together. Even in very yeshiva circles, they do. They do this in yeshiva also. They just say all the names, all the thing. But that's not the way it is. We'll go try to find an old machzor, any old city. You'll never find anywhere any version of an old Mishach V'cholim where they're going to have one Mishaberach to mix together men and women. Unheard of. And even the printers say are afraid to print it. They don't even want to print it. They'll print men, the article said, will not print one together. They have men and women separate. They're not going to print, oh, but everyone does it. Go try to find a shul that doesn't do it today. Very not so easy to find a shul. Doesn't matter. It's not traditional. At least not to get in trouble to put it into print, into a sitter. Okay, let's go further. So we have over here this thing called of liyminu l'smolu l'fanu l'achav ki mitzal kol anashim ha anashim liros seksaf. Women, I have no idea. You never heard of this idea. I told you of making a shul that the women can see. Then you roll the sefer. Mitzvah l'goylo sheyatzva be'emsa shtei haglilos. You shall work it out that the stitch, that the two pieces of parchment you should roll into the center. Why? V'yiglolu. Ad shtei hatzva hasamach be'emsa. Now which way do you roll it, to the right or the left? Are you open it up? And let's do you roll with your left hand closer to the right, or do you roll with your right hand closer to the left? It all depends where the stitch is. You roll it where whatever is closer, wherever you have to roll that the stitch will come out in the center, that is what you're supposed to do. The yiglu at sheye hatafar hasamuch boemsa. The stitch that is closest to you, the result should be that it should be in the center. And that is the determining factor in which one of your hands you're going to turn to roll to bring it to the center. If the tfar that is in front of you is closer, yiglu shlosham. If the one that's further away to you is Yosef Samuch, Yigl Lusham, then you roll the other Atzei Chaim towards the stitch. We want you to be Mamayit in rolling as much because of the honor of the Sefer Torah. And why is it less rolling? I don't really understand the details of why it's the same amount of rolling, but I think it means is that we want the result to be the stitch to be in the center. And why do we want the stitch to be in the center? Because in case it rips, in case, again, you get off balance and you rip, so it should rip along the stitch. That's where the pressure should be, not along the actual parchment, because that, once it rips, there's no hope, there's nothing you can possibly do for it. The stitch you can repair, right? That's what you can repair, but you can't repair a cloth that's torn. That's very problematic.
If it was really weighted to one side or the other side, it's physically very difficult.
Okay, so then, of course, you don't want the sefer to fall down. Those are different. We're talking about a situation where everything else is equal. We're dealing with a very strong purse, we're dealing with a very light sefer Torah, we're dealing with a sefer Torah that's in the center. Of course, you have the sefer Torah is about to fall down. Obviously, you tell the guy to sit down as soon as possible. With Michael, you turning around all four sides. We rather you sit down and fast than tomorrow, yeah.
The first line says Omin Chatzi Kaddish.
Okay.
Says that
big controversy. There are different customs. So let me tell you three customs. The most common custom by far is that the Baal Kori says it.
Yes.
He says, why do you say Chatzi Kaddish in honor of the Sefer? We are going to see later on. You say it in honor of the Sefer Torah. You say the Chatzi Kaddish is nothing special. The Baal Kori recites this Chatzi Kaddish. It's given to him. It's his job. It's his honor. It's his duty. Now, however, this thing is a chatzi kaddish. Why not give it to an ovel? An ovel, the Gemara says, you say yehishmer rava. So, in fact, in many shuls, my father towards the end of his life told about was very much into this. He told that whoever's a yosom, whoever's saying kaddish should come forward and recite that chatzi kaddish. Now, then there's another minhag. This is fascinating. Take turns. So you take turns. I don't know the situation. You take turns. One week, one does this week. You alternate. You find a system. The same way, who's going to down for the Amud? So you take turns. Maybe the one that's down for the Amud. Oh, that's the minute. The minute is always to fight. Whatever it is. Okay. I know where I daven. I remember once I daven. So daven Chaimblin most of the time. And there, the Baal Kori always says the Kaddish. And there's a very big olam, and they're very makbid who the Baal Kori is. They're very, very set who the Baal Kori is. I remember once there was a person who was a Zokin. He was an older person. And he asked the Gabbai, he had Yard Sight. He's been davening there for many, many years, and he had Yard Sight. And he asked the Gabbai if he can say the Kaddish, the Chatzi Kaddish, after laning. So the Gabbai was in a very tough situation because it's not the custom. It's never done. And this person does a very low voice, and he was a Zokin, and he was not, he was very delicate. He tried in a very delicate way. I saw him in the most delicate way to tell him, I'm sorry, we don't do that here. That's not the custom here. The custom here is the Baal Kori, whether he's good or bad, is the one who says the Kaddish. And this person, he was so hurt. I don't say hurt. He was insulted. He was hurt. He didn't understand. He already wasn't well. He was a very elderly person. And he didn't really, I don't think he really fully understood that that's just not the custom here, and the Gabbai tried his best to explain it to him, and that's what it was. Okay, but there's another very interesting custom. This was made aware to me when I was sitting Shiva for my father, Zichron Levracha, that there is a custom where there's a hakpada, the Balkari can say the Kaddish, or if the Balkari doesn't want to say the Kaddish, let's say the Balkari is an Ovel. I'll give you a better example. The Balkari himself is an Ovel. He bidavka should not say the Kaddish. The Kaddish should be said by someone who is not an Ovel. Why? Because it seems that there's a source for this, that this Kaddish was established for the people, for people who have died, for whom no one is saying Kaddish for. There are people out there in the community, or out in the world at large, who have died, and no one's saying Kaddish for it. It's very sad. It's very sad. So if the Ovel says it, he'll steal it for himself. I'll say it for my relative. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. There's a very big hakpada on that. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. That if, let's say you're hired. People who have make a parnasa by saying Kaddish. Person, let's say you have a family and there's no one to say Kaddish. There's no one to say Kaddish, very common. So you go to yeshiva, I'll give you $1,800 and you'll appoint a person to say Kaddish. So can one person say Kaddish for 50 people? It's a great business, right? If one person, will pay him $500 and the yeshiva will cash in for every customer $1,800 and he'll be saying Kaddish for 50 people if you can find so many people. So the answer is no, you're not allowed to do that. Rav Moshe says the best, one person should say Kaddish, only one person. If you're booked, you're booked. That's it. B'shas hatchak, you can do three. One tefillah a day. So for Shachris, you're going to do for Ruvain. For Mincha, you do for Shimon. For Maariv, you'll do for Levi. That's the most, even that, I think he says, only do two. You shouldn't really do three. Because you might miss. You might miss a tefillah.
They
sang Kaddish forever. Continuously.
They have symbols. There are now that say, at least you have to say, I mean, if you
once
a day,
yeah.
Every Kaddish, you've got to remind
somebody. Okay, so you go to a shul, they say multiple Kaddishim, all these kunsim. You go to a shul, they say five Kaddishim. Kaddish to Rabbanon, and then after Mizmashir, and then at the end, all these things. So then each one, you keep chesh. I know someone like that. He has a piece of paper. He has 20 names, and he's always looking at a name. Well, every time he says Kaddish, he's always referring to someone.
Did you really understand
your favorite song? No, you shouldn't. If you're not available, you're already booked.
Right.
So you shouldn't. You're already booked for your relatives, so you should give it to someone else.
Basically, they have symbols for like Mishu, that's Mashach.
Yeah.
And Torah, the second day is a Torah. Then the third, Kaddish for Kasper.
Yeah, Kaddish for Kesef.
Kaddish
for Kasper. There's even a shaila. Someone mentioned this to me. That let's say a person is an avelus for a second parent. And then it's the Musaf, it's the Shabbos before the yard site. It is the Shabbos before the yard site for the first parent. Okay, let's review the whole case. Very interesting shaila. Person is in avelus for a second parent. And now in the middle of the Avelus, he has yahrzeit for a first parent. Now normally an Ovel does not daven Musaf on Shabbos. It's not a kavod for the Tzibur for an Ovel to daven for the Omer on Shabbos.
Right.
Unless the Tzibur says, we love you so much, don't worry, we're mochel in our kavod, you can do, which is very easy. Most of the time the Tzibur doesn't really bother them. You can go right, if you really want to daven, they'll let you daven, there's no problem davening on Shabbos. Shabbos, Musaf, or especially when there's no one else to daven, it's fine. So here's the case, but let's say you're in a shul where normally the Ovel does not daven b'toch shana, but this Ovel has yahrzeit for another parent within the year. And he wants to daven Musaf. And the Tzibur, so there are different customs. There are some places who say you should not daven that year. You don't daven Musaf, the Shabbos before. And some say, no, you can daven the different cases when the yahrzeit is bo bayom. But let's discuss the more complicated case where the yahrzeit is in the middle of the week, and now it's Shabbos, and the custom is to daven Musaf, to get mafia in the daven Musaf before the yahrzeit, which falls out during the week. And this person is the Tzibur says, we love you, don't worry, you can daven Musaf. And he davens Musaf. So there is a custom on top of this, is he should appoint someone else to say Kaddish. Right, because when he's going to be saying Kaddish at Musaf, he's being mechaven for the yard side that's going to come out during the week. Or you have variations of this, Mitzvah Shabbos, and all the different variations. If you're not davening now for the one that you're supposed to be davening for the Toch Shana, you're davening for someone else, dish it out. Give it.
I had the thought now, during Shiva was my father's yahrzeit.
Ah. It's a whole shalom what to do. It's a whole shalom. So you're saying Kaddish for one, but yet you have a yahrzeit for someone else.
We had a light of yahrzeit candle next to the...
Another yahrzeit candle. So there's such a custom that you should go and you should appoint someone else, do me a favor, can you say Kaddish today for this other person, because I'm busy.
Well, for tefillah, or just for the mussar?
It depends. There are different variations of how far you want to go with this. Saying Kaddish, many poskim say the Hakpad is only to say Kaddish once a day.
Yeah.
If you can't say Kaddish three times a day, the world doesn't come to an end. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you have to go somewhere. You come back very late. You can't. It's too hard. It's very difficult to go Chabamini for Marv, to go to Landau's, and you can ruin your whole next day. You have to get up early, go to work. So there's no Nikar Hadin. If you say Kaddish once a day, you're good. You're good. So certainly when you're dealing with a situation where you have a conflict between a yard site and you want to say a Kaddish, so it's enough to ask someone else, say Kaddish for me, one of the tefillahs. But you have this very interesting idea, and it comes into play when it comes to Chatzi Kaddish after landing. Three customs. The Baal Kori, no matter what, which is by far the most common. Number two is, no, you let a Yosem, someone in the community who's saying, in the shul is saying Kaddish, let him come forward to say the Chatzi Kaddish, which I see is done today more and more. Became more and more popular. This, when I was a child, kid, I never saw this. Never, ever. Today, already, I see this already. It's becoming very popular. And then there's this third thing, which is not at all popular, but it's definitely cited in some of the Sfarim, is that Hakpada Gemura, that the one that's saying Kaddish should not be in Avelus because he shouldn't steal it. Don't take away from the people that have no one to say Kaddish for. That's what this Kaddish is for. There are people out there. They need a Kaddish. This is in honor of those, the unknown, what's called the grave of the other, the unknown soldier. That's what it's for. And therefore, don't deny that neshama, the Kaddish that it rightfully deserves. So those are the three minhagim to answer that question. Let's see here on the bottom, goylim, what it says here, tezvav, umagbim es ha-sefer Torah uveknes ha-gdoyla, uveth ha-gdoyla ha-kneses ha-sefer Torah hi kveda. Ah, this is very common, this is the old days. Don't do hagba. Okay, it's a very important halacha. Don't take a risk. If you go to a shul of some old timers and you're very large sefer Torah, so you don't do hagba. So everyone says, I don't know if you even say zayis Torah. It doesn't say what you do. You just go along. You don't do hagba. Don't take a risk. If you can't do hagba, don't do hagba. It could be a bezoin for the sefer Torah. You can pick it up and it might fall down. Today, it's very interesting that it's out of style. All the new sefer Torah today are medium sized. They're light. Hey, they don't make any more. You don't see any more the massive. They don't make that's out. Everything the klavim are standardized. When a sefer writes a sefer Torah, he doesn't do the klav himself. You go to the store and you buy ready made klav. No one today makes their own klav. No one today does their own sirtut. Before you write, you have to sirtut. You have to etch in the lines. It's all done in a factory. It's all done. And they are basically different. They have very small, medium, and full size. And the full size today is a lot smaller than the old full size. And if you want custom, there are cipher, they are definitely have a certain handwriting, and they have the suit that is custom made for them. It's not so hard to have it because it's very easy how they set up the machine to do the sirtut. So if you want to have custom made sirtut, you can have it done. It's not such a big deal. However, you're limiting yourself in the parchment. Sofer, very makbid on parchment. A sofer, you go to the shop to buy parchment. No two pieces of parchment, right? Each piece of parchment was a fortune. To buy one thing probably costs by now probably at least $100, maybe even more, maybe even $200. A small piece for a Megillah years ago cost $35. One little section for a small size of a little sofa, a piece of sefer Torah, it's even larger. So there are no two pieces of parchment feel the same. Every piece of parchment has a different feel. They come out differently. And every sofa likes parchment differently. Some like it very furry. They have a furry feel, some of the parchment. Some like it very smooth. All depends on the ink, on the type of, how well you cut your feather, your handwriting, your style. Every sofa, time of the year.
How many sections are there this year?
I don't know. I don't know. 50? Is it? No, how many years? It's the same number. Everything is standardized. 20. I don't remember. I want to know the statistics. Nevi'im is double. The amount of piece of parchment you need for a Navi, the columns, how many of the columns are 200? So you can figure it out. There are about 200 columns. And how many are there on the column 5? Could be there are 5. So how many columns are on a piece of parchment?
3 usually, no?
No, it's more than 3. It's more than, I think it's 5. 5 or 6, I don't remember exactly. No two pieces of parchment feel the same. It depends on the time of the year. In the summertime, it's more humid. Ink sells differently. In the winter, it's dry. So at the time of the year, the style of the sofa, the type of ink he uses, every sofa is very particular. So if you want to go have a custom, if you don't want to have custom made, just go to the store and you buy the parchment. It's already pre-made. You have a very large variety. You have a large selection. You want to have custom made parchment, you're limiting yourself in the sirtut. But in any event, today I notice more and more often it's very, very popular today, the medium size. Becoming very popular today, a new Sefer Torah today, the commission of a new Sefer Torah, they don't get the full size. People are in love with the medium-sized Sefer Torah, not the small. Small's for a Rebbe. It's for a Rebbe, the little one, like the Masaskim Sefer Torah. That's for a Rebbe. The Rebbe gets the little one.
Yes.
Even that's really special. Even the small today, from the Masaskim, it's standardized. But the medium size is very popular. It's very good for Hagba. A lot of shuls, they love it. They love it. Frankel's. No, it can't be done. It's not kosher. Has to by a person, by hand. But it's put in like in a press. It has to be done by a person. It's not kosher. Has to be l'shma. Avodah siyat.
I understand that, but it could be done by a hand machine.
Right, it's put like into a machine, and the person just.
So it's not like an automatic.
No, it's not electric. It's a manual machine, yeah. Yeah,
but it's laid out.
Laid out. The parchment laid out, and there are all of these like points, and you put down, and you press across, and you ruin it. You ruin a lot of. It's a lot. It's a very expensive piece. It's a lot of money. You have to be done with a lot of precision. It's a process. It's done automatically. It's done by in the factory. Specialists do it, and then the siphon come. They buy it. And they, whatever, and then they work on it. If they make a mistake, if you ever make a mistake and you have to erase, you ever see a sefer come to shul, there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. It's not so common to see a sefer come to a shul to correct, there's no mistakes anymore, everything is computerized. But if there's a mistake, so they erase it.
You could see it.
And when you erase it, you automatically, you're going to ruin the sirtut. So you'll always see a sefer before he begins to write, if you'll ever see such a thing, he has to take out his awl and a ruler, and redo the sirtut.
And you reduce the
redo the line.
You reduce the price of the sirtut.
That's another thing. If you make too many mistakes. Okay. Let's see one more halacha. So that's a very interesting halacha that you don't necessarily have to hagba. Shouldn't get carried away with doing hagba. Okay, no, we'll stop over here. Take a break.